Good morning, good morning. This is Nancy Barrow, and this is the Beat of Connecticut on Hot 93.7. Happy Sunday to everybody. So it was almost a year ago that I lost my dad. He passed away from lung cancer. He was a smoker, two packs a day. He started when he was 21, but then when he turned, he was 49, and when he turned 50, he smoked all the way up until like midnight, and then he stopped cold turkey. Quit cold turkey, a two-pack-a-day smoker. When he was 50 years old, he quit, and then he had like a 34-year reprieve until lung cancer came knocking at the door. The Lung Association is really cool. They deal with a lot of conditions, obviously, with your lungs, and I really wanted to talk about lung cancer and how you can prevent it and if there is any prevention for it. And I just figured that why not go to the American Lung Association? So joining me today is Ruth Kenobi, who is the Director of Public Policy in Connecticut, and Mary Mackey, who is the Development Manager in Connecticut. Welcome, ladies, and thank you so much for coming in and giving us some information about what you guys do. I appreciate that. So first of all, why don't you tell me a little bit about what the Lung Association does? What do you guys do?
Actually, we're the oldest voluntary health organization in the country. So we started off fighting tuberculosis. But our mission is to save lives by improving lung health and preventing lung disease. And we do that through education, advocacy, and research. So we have a number of resources that are available for the community. But really, we want to prevent lung disease and reduce the burden of it for those who have it, because there's so impacts so many people.
So how long have you been involved with the Lung Association?
I've been working for the Lung Association for 6.5 years or so.
Okay, so have you seen anything change in the 6.5 years since you've been there? The organization, has it grown? Has your outreach grown in the community?
Yes, I would say for sure we have grown, and we are changing with the nature of the work.
Yeah.
So our mission is the same, but what we actually do has changed. And one of the things that has become really important for us is lung cancer. Before, we've done a lot of work around prevention, so trying to prevent folks who smoke doing that, and then help provide resources to help quit. But we wanted to really just ensure that there is, one, awareness around lung cancer.
Yeah.
And fundraise so that we can try to find it earlier, find better treatments. So lung cancer is a really big proponent or component of what we do.
Yeah.
And so Mary, actually, that's a big part of the work that she does. So I'll kind of let her talk a bit more about our campaign called Lung Force.
Okay. So what is Lung Force, Mary?
So Lung Force was launched to really make lung cancer kind of a top-of-mind issue, make it a cause that folks care about and act on, raise critically needed funding for research because it's so prevalent. You know, it is the number one cancer killer of both men and women.
And people don't
realize that.
People do not realize that at all. And it was funny because when my dad was diagnosed, like 34 years later, they directly attributed it to him smoking. Even though it was so much later after he's quit smoking, there still was that effect on your lungs, which I didn't realize. So, you know, if there could have been a screening, which I went to your website and I saw that there's some screening, which was really interesting. I wish that we had known this earlier. So, like, I could have been like, hey, Dad, let's go get a screening.
And that's why Lung Force was launched. And so the third arm of that is really to educate and empower patients and healthcare professionals.
Yeah.
So as part of that, we have launched our Save by the Scan campaign.
Which is so cool.
So needed. And so that's a new campaign, lung cancer screening campaign, by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council to really stress the importance of early detection. And so, you know, we find that if half of the Americans that are high risk were screened, about 15,000 lives.
I mean, my dad, you have to say, like, listen, if you live to your 85, you're pretty good. And, you know, his quality of life was really pretty good. When we found out about it, he was in Florida, so he got treatment there. And they took part of one of his lobes of his lung. And it was just really difficult for him. Just, you know, I think when you're older, it's harder. Mm-hmm. The comeback is harder.
Yeah.
So if he had gotten screened earlier, maybe we could have caught it. I mean, actually, he got stage I think it was stage two, which was pretty good.
I mean, once you get early.
You get stage three and stage four, it's like there's hardly anything that anybody can do for you. So we were really thankful that it was at least stage two, and I'm sure it gave us a little bit more time with my father, which was really important. Mm-hmm. But so when we talk about lung cancer, the treatment is really. It's kind of crazy, but I know that there's all these new drugs that are coming around. And even my dad was on Optivo at the end. I think he had two rounds, and he was like, I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
But those are new things, and they're really advertising it quite a bit right now. Is it because people don't realize that lung cancer is the number one killer of men and women?
I cannot tell you how many times we've come, you know, in chatting with folks that they don't realize that
that no
is
idea.
Yeah.
Very much a reality. And
yeah.
So, again, it's so important for LungForce to kind of be in the forefront and make this a top of mind issue to improve quality of life. You know, we talked about kind of the treatment options.
Yeah.
Whether
they're limited.
They're limited, but they are giving more hope and
they
helping
are.
People have a quality of life.
Yeah.
So it's very important that's, you know, in terms of early detection, that you're working with your physician to kind of tailor a treatment program that works best for you.
Yeah.
But again, quality of life is a big component of it as well.
And I think there's a history of kind of people not knowing that this is, a number one cancer killer of men and women. But in just the past few years, we've seen pretty significant changes in treatment options. I feel like I lost an uncle to lung cancer in the late 90s,
yep.
and it was fast, and there weren't a lot of options.
Yeah.
Now, a stage four, it's the prognosis aren't great, but they're much more positive and hopeful just in
that's
the past
crazy.
Year or so. And it's really exciting.
Yeah.
But we're really trying to just raise awareness and funds. I think one thing that the Lung Association is proud of with this is that we've been able to just in the past 2 years or 2.5 years donate over $5 million towards lung disease research.
Wow.
It just in the Northeast. And so we want to see changes in that prognosis. We want people to get treated or diagnosed earlier.
Yeah, sure.
But we also want better treatments and for people who've been diagnosed.
Well, it was really funny, too, because my dad had no symptoms whatsoever. And the only reason, by the grace of God, that we found out is he was going in for a hip reconstruction that he was going to get. And they did some blood work and they did some scans. And then, you know, and he also had pneumonia at the time. So he got some kind of x-ray. And they said that they saw a spot they didn't really like. And they're like, maybe it could be your pneumonia. We're really not sure. So they waited and then they found out that it was a spot, but we were thankful that it was stage two. We were really hopeful that this would be, pretty easily managed. But again, lung cancer is it's pretty virulent. You know, it's a pretty virulent disease. It really is. You know, and one of the things that was interesting is, you know, my dad was a smoker. So do you find the majority of people who get lung cancer are smokers or had been a smoker at one point, or are you finding that that's not really the case?
Smoking is definitely a risk factor for lung cancer, but one of the parts of our campaign is that nobody deserves to get cancer,
no.
right? And so I think there's so much stigma associated with lung cancer. Like, what other cancer do you get when somebody, if you tell somebody you got diagnosed, they say, did you smoke? Like,
there's no.
And there's plenty of people who smoke who don't get lung
cancer.
Who
don't,
so we
yeah.
like to say,
my grandfather, he lived till he was 94.
Right?
You know, he didn't.
If you have lungs, there's chance that you can get lung cancer. So there's risk factors, but so much of it is genetic. So, I mean, we do say the best thing you can do for your lung health is to quit smoking if you are a smoker.
Sure.
But we really want to work on talking about the fact that there's smoking is a risk factor, but there's radon, which is a gas in your home.
Yes, gas. You're supposed to have like an alarm for that.
Right. Yeah. You can test for it. Usually people will do it during like a real estate transaction and not think about it again.
Yeah.
But long-term exposure is the second leading cause of lung cancer. So people don't know that, right?
And so we looked at Christopher Reeve, right? His wife got really sick and got lung cancer. She was not a smoker.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really healthy and she was relatively young.
Uh-huh.
She was like less than 50 when she got diagnosed. And I just remember going like, oh my God, Superman died and now his wife has lung cancer. These poor kids.
Right?
I felt terrible for the kids going through that. But, you know, and she got diagnosed very late because a lot of times you don't have a lot of symptoms.
There's not a lot of symptoms. And that's the problem. That's why we look at it being the leading cause of, you know, cancer killers in the country, because it shows up very late. There's limited symptoms. And so that's why we're excited about Save by the Scan campaign that we have.
Mm-hmm.
It really does cover like a small proportion of people, but those are the high risk ones that we know that they're, you know, covered for the scan. It's a low-dose CT scan.
Yeah.
And if people want to know if they're eligible, they can go to that website and put in, like, their history and information, and it will tell them if they're eligible.
Okay.
And they can talk to their healthcare professional as well. But
interesting. So go ahead.
Right. And so to visit that kind of eligibility interactive quiz, you just go to savebythescan.org. And then, you know, we'll kind of walk you through what the next steps are. But
and they have them in Connecticut.
Proactive.
And there's scans in Connecticut.
There is absolutely. There are screening programs throughout the state.
It's fantastic.
To be able to work with your physician and get a diagnosis if that is the case.
So do more women than men get diagnosed, or is it pretty 50-50?
So it is more prevalent in women. It actually kills nearly two times as many women as breast cancer.
No, sir.
Yeah.
And again, it
I'm just blown away right now.
Early detection.
I am just blown away right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had no idea.
When we started the campaign, we kind of asked women around the country, like, when you think of issues that you are concerned about with your health, what comes to mind? And lung cancer, I think, came up for 1% of women or something.
Yeah,
right?
I just don't
on our radar.
I don't even think about it. Like, my mother died of breast cancer, right? So that's really prevalent in top of my mind. Now my dad died of lung cancer, so I'm like, okay, so do genetics play a part in lung cancer? Do you need to, you know, do his children need to go get screened? These are questions that, you know, we should ask our health professionals.
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell someone if they said, you know, we have a history of that in our family? Would you say, yeah, you should go get screened? Or do you need to have more factors involved?
I feel like I would probably tell them to talk to their healthcare professionals.
Yeah.
And as you were mentioning, I did want to just promote a couple things that we have on our website for resources. We do, with kind of this lung cancer focus that we have had, we've been able to develop a pretty intensive library for people of information.
Oh, that's
about
awesome.
Like, if you've been diagnosed, here are questions to ask your doctor. Like, just kind of stuff, because when you get hit with that diagnosis, it's pretty intense.
It's really scary.
And you're like, you know, it's hard to kind of process all of that. So I think there's a lot of resources available to help people process this, know what to ask for.
Yeah.
So we're excited about that kind of resource availability for some folks.
I'm really excited that there's a screening process. I really feel like, you know, there's always been a screening process for breast cancer. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the mammos, which is really great.
It's incredible.
You know, and
right?
It really does save lives.
Yes.
It really does save lives.
Yeah.
I had no idea that there was any kind of screening process for lung cancer. So for me, losing my dad with this, it just makes me happy that their strides being taken and there's something that can be done.
Yeah.
You know, that might save another dad's life. You know what I mean? It was, it would have been great to know that that was available.
And it's new.
I mean,
so, and there's progress being made. So we're pretty hopeful. While we look at the statistics, it's challenging, but I think seeing some changes, it provides hope to
us. Right, because you want to find it stage one or two, if you can.
Right.
If you can find it stage one or two. And it's great to know, like you said, even if it's stage four, things have changed.
Yeah.
Things have changed. I mean, I don't know if you've seen it, but I see the Optivo ad like everywhere. And there's other ones that, you know, if you aren't eligible for Optivo, there's other ones that are now going and circulating on TV, which I think also brings awareness.
Yeah.
For lung cancer, because I never thought of it before my dad got it. Never even thought that it would be an issue for any of us. Mm-hmm. And I think, like you said, radon is one of the big issues.
Mm-hmm. But we do know that there are lots of things that impact our health. And so we've talked about, you know, smoking, tobacco use is a big factor, radon. Also, something we haven't talked about is air pollution.
Oh, yeah.
And in the past few years, that's actually been linked to a lung cancer cause. And it's something that you don't necessarily think of, but poor air quality, continued exposure to bad particles in the air, ozone, particulate matter, those types of things really impact our lungs. And so while that's challenging to do on an individual basis, but so one of the other things that we do at the Lung Association is a lot of advocacy, so public policy type work. So trying to make big scale changes on improving.
Oh, so you go to Washington?
Go to Washington, but also in Connecticut too.
Yeah.
So like
yeah.
working with our legislature to ensure that we can reduce air pollution and that kind of thing.
Carbon footprint,
all
that good stuff.
Yeah, so that's a newer thing.
That's awesome, though, that you're doing advocacy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like really pro.
Yeah.
You're being really proactive.
Yeah, we're trying to do big scale stuff, but then also improve things for individuals and families.
So I know that you guys focus, on lung cancer, and that was one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about. But there's so many other things that you deal with, like the COPD. I have a friend who used to have her horse at the barn that I'm at, and she had COPD. And let me tell you what, it was like crazy. She would walk down to try to get her horse and bring it back up, and she would be, it was crazy. It was, so I don't know much about COPD. So what is COPD? And how does that, I have no idea what that is, really. But I just knew that it was really hard to really have any quality of life.
It's a really challenging disease. It's called chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Lots of people know it as emphysema.
Oh, I had no idea that that's what it was.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
But
okay.
It's a mixed quality of life challenging. There's a lot of work being done around the state with pulmonary rehabilitation.
Yeah, she went to pulmonary rehab.
Yeah, so that's exciting. Mm-hmm. And one thing that the Lung Association does is we have these things called Better Breathers Clubs. So they're support groups for people who have lung disease. And so we actually train facilitators, and they're kind of throughout the state. But they're places for people who have these challenges to come and talk about, like, this was really challenging, or how did you deal with this, and just share ideas, right? Yeah, or do you have suggestions and that sort of thing? And there's a trained facilitator, healthcare professional there to facilitate that. But that's something that we're pretty excited about being able to offer. But yeah, lung disease impacts so many of us.
It really does. Yeah. I have a friend whose son has asthma, and it's exercise-induced asthma. That is another whole situation altogether.
Uh-huh.
And that, I mean, do you do outreach for that as well, for asthma? I mean, because I know that's just a huge one for kids right now.
Yeah.
And more so than I remember as a kid. And I don't know if it is, again, part of the,
changing.
Is it part of the environmental issue,
Yeah. And I know that, asthma, we have resources available. We have class online people can take if they're curious. During like back to school time, we remind folks, we do some big press about have an asthma action plan at your schools and those sorts of things, and we're part of coalitions. But it does, I think it's about 9 to 9.5% of people in Connecticut have asthma, and that's higher that's higher than the national
average.
Yeah. So I know it's tough. There's a lot of work to do.
Yeah. And you think, like, I feel like Connecticut, we don't have, like, I always think of Connecticut as just like this little clean state. But I mean, you know, we're pretty close to New York. We're pretty close to Boston. You're pretty close to some big cities. So, we're going to get some of that air quality
when
up here.
When we talk about air quality, we actually do a report about the state of our air in each state.
Yeah.
And Connecticut has like some of the worst ozone pollution in the whole eastern part of the state, eastern part of the country. Yeah. So very surprising, but because of weather patterns, like lots of pollution that comes from coal, power plants come like from Pennsylvania, and then the traffic and all of that kind of stuff comes and kind of gets stuck in Connecticut. So
that's just horrifying now.
Challenging thing. I know. I always feel like a little bit like a downer here.
No, I'm not going to let you think that, Ruth. You're not a downer. You're just being informative, which is something that is really interesting because I had no idea. But, every once in a while in the summer, if it's a real humid day, you can find out that we have air quality, bad days. And they always say, if you're an asthma sufferer or have any kind of lung issues, make sure you stay inside and you're air conditioned, which is, I guess, the best thing you can do. else are you going to do?
So we really encourage people. I mean, we've talked about how prevalent it is, whether it be asthma, COPD, or lung cancer. So we really encourage people to reach out to us. We do have our helpline, our help lung line, which is at 1-800-LUNG-USA. So you can ask questions, any lung health related questions. We encourage you to become involved, whether you want to sign up to become an advocate and send an email or call your legislator. And then we do have some fun events as well that can become involved in.
I was going to ask you about that, about the community. And I know that we all need money and we all need fundraisers. So you got to get creative about sometimes your fundraisers. So what are some of the things that you guys have locally that you can do?
So we do have a couple of fundraisers, and then we also have an educational event.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
So we do have our Fight for Air Climb, which is coming up on Saturday, April 21st. It is, in essence, kind of a vertical race to the top, right in downtown Hartford 21, 34 floors.
Oh!
So you step up to the challenge.
That's what you're talking about.
Yep. It's a good time. You can bring your whole family and kind of, and the idea is that at the end of the event, you kind of understand what it means to have lung disease.
Yeah.
You know, when you can't breathe, nothing else matters. So the idea is that you kind of get a little bit of insight into what it feels like to have lung disease. And also you're, you know, supporting an important cause. So.
And it's great exercise.
It is great exercise.
I was just going to say. Or you'll find out how much more you need to be in the gym if you're...
Well, we do have practice climbs.
Oh, see, that's good.
Training, so we have training tips so we can kind of get you started.
So how do you find out all about that?
So if you go to fightforairclimb.org, you can find the more information about it.
That's so cool. April 21st.
April 21st, Hartford 21, right downtown Hartford.
That is so
cool. So you have plenty of time to train.
Yeah,
I'm going to put that on my website. I'll put it on my social media for
really
you guys,
fun.
Too.
We get, firefighters also, too. They come and get dressed in their full gear.
No, they don't.
Yes, and do that. And they have, like, competitions between towns. It's really fun. Like, it's a good event.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Those firemen, man, they have to climb up those stairs.
Yep.
That's crazy.
With the extra gear.
With the extra gear. Yeah. I don't need that.
Right?
No, thank you.
No.
I don't need that. I'm good with that.
And then we also have our Lung Force Expo, which is happening on May 10th. That's a Thursday.
Okay.
So that is an educational opportunity for patients, caregivers, and healthcare professionals. Also, students in the field, you know, whether you're going to be a respiratory therapist or what have you, are encouraged to attend. It's a good opportunity to network, to learn about the latest interventions in terms of, there's a focus on lung cancer, but we do have topics about COPD.
Yep.
And some regarding asthma as well. So do encourage you to learn more about
that. And where's that? Do you know where that's going to be?
It's at the Sheridan Hartford South, which is located in Rocky Hill.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Been there.
So it's really often on the highway.
Yep.
Very easy to get to. But it's really a good opportunity for folks to come together and learn. We have a patient panel, opportunity for healthcare professionals to network. It's a great event.
That is a great event. Mm-hmm. That's really smart. And if you've, you know, and that would be a great way if you are interested in finding out, is genetics playing a part in any of that? You could ask the people there if you go to the... That's really great that you're going to have that lung force.
Exactly. And then lastly, we have our Lung Force Walk, which is happening on June 3rd. So that's a Sunday.
Yeah.
And it's happening at Great River Park in East Hartford.
Yeah.
It has kind of like an interactive festival type feel. We have interactive tents where you can learn more about lung health, fun activities, face painting. You can also bring your dogs. So leashed dogs are welcome.
And that's great.
If they're sporting turquoise gear, they will be entered in for a chance to win a pet prize. So
there you go. So dress your pets in turquoise.
That's right. That's the signature Lung Force color.
Yeah.
And then we do have our Lung Force heroes, who are either patients or caregivers whose lives have been touched by lung disease. And they kind of just remind us why we're, you know, there that day and supporting.
That's really cool that you guys do that.
Yeah.
So do you get I'm assuming that all these are fundraisers. Is it important for you guys to get donations? Do you get private donations? Do you get donations from corporations? Like, how do you get all the money for the education? Because it's expensive to do all this stuff. It really is.
Boots on the ground, getting out in the community.
Boots on the ground.
Great opportunities like this to just spread the word about the need for support and through the fundraising event. So the Lung Force Expo is not a fundraising event. It's an education event. But the Fight for Air Climb and the Lung Force Walk are fundraising events.
Which is great.
And they help not only fund the education and support aspect, but also research. So
which we need.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
We definitely need the research. I think it's great that you have like a group of people, the Better Breathers Club, that get together and there's some kind of unity that they can really kind of commiserate with whatever they're going through. Because I really like that whole idea of having support groups and being able to talk to someone who's like gone through the same thing you have.
Yeah. Right. It's
you
very
know,
important.
It really is very important. So again, lung cancer. Surprising me, even, that it's the number one killer of men and women.
Yeah, cancer killer.
Cancer killer,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is crazy.
I know.
I'm really surprised by that. I really am. So
yeah.
See, I learn something new every day.
Right?
So, I'm hoping that at some point, you know, there's a lot of genetic testing that's going on for like the BRCA test, which
right.
I had, which I
mm-hmm.
tested negative for. It was very stressful and things like that. I'm hoping that they can have some genetic testing too for lung cancer.
That would be
it would be
exciting.
Great if they can
mm-hmm.
they can do that for you and
yep.
find out, you know, and all that is money that you need for research. So
right.
if we can support you in all of your, you know, community events and your fundraisers, that would be great.
Yes,
yeah.
definitely. So again,
absolutely.
Visit fightforairclimb.org or lungforce.org to become more involved, and we hope that you join us.
Yeah. Well, thank you, ladies, for coming in here. I'm really pleased that you both came in here and educated even me about the whole situation with lung cancer. And I just think it's an important message to get across and to really talk to a lot of people about. We didn't even get into influenza.
Right.
The flu is crazy,
I know, right?
people.
It is. It really is.
And that's another lung situation.
Yes, absolutely.
So get your flu
I know.
Shot.
Totally. Yes. Thank you. But really, thank you for the opportunity. We're really happy
yes.
to be here.
I'm just saying, get your flu shot, people. I know it's a lot of controversy,
right?
but for God's sakes, I don't want to get that flu. It's just
Seriously.
Been terrible
this year. Yeah.
It really has. Ruth Kenobi, thank you so much for coming in, Director of Public Policy in Connecticut, and Mary Mackey, the Development Manager in Connecticut as well, the American Lung Association. You guys are great. We appreciate you coming in and in giving us a little education
thank
today.
You so
thank you
so much.
Thank you, ladies, so
thank
much.
You.
I'm Nancy Barrow. This is the Beat of Connecticut on Hot 93.7, hot93.7.com. Have a great Sunday.